Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. And I am here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak of NDT Scouting and Bleeding Green Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Every day is a dream, my friend. It's a good time to be alive. What's going on with you?
So some quick news. Kenyon Barner, after we talked about running back snaps and possible replacements for what seemed like forever last night, we ended up picking up Kenyon Barner, who has been with the team before. Ben, how do you feel about the pickup there?
It's savvy. It's a good pickup. You know, the returner value that he brings right away, I think, is particularly exceptional, and it's that classic Eagles move of making sure they get special teams value out of the guys who will be a little bit lower on their depth chart. You know, one of those big ways in which we'll miss Sproles is his impact as a returner, and bringing Barner in really helps that. He's a fantastic return man, has a lot of potential on punt returns and kickoff returns, I think. And then obviously, you know, he does present that versatility as far as a pass catcher and as a runner. And so maybe it's a step down as far as talent goes, but I always liked Barner. I don't know about you, but I always enjoyed watching him play, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I have no issue with Barner whatsoever. It's a solid pickup. He knows the system. We're good to go on that end. And we have a matchup coming up with the Chargers. Now, what we were going to do is we were going to record with John Gennaro from the Locked On Chargers podcast. Go check him out on the...
Yeah, we did. We did technically record with John Gennaro of Locked On Chargers.
Yeah, we use Zencaster for these things, and something was going on and something was freaky and just the audio is not salvageable. So we're going to reference some things that he said about this Eagles-Chargers matchup. And really, honestly, man, I wasn't really shocked because the Chargers have not played up to the potential of that team, but he was incredibly disappointed with that team as a whole. And I think, you know, a lot of that stems from, there's this stat that I looked up that I cited to him that didn't surprise him at all. And so Philip Rivers, okay, This guy lives in a purgatory of down 7 points or less with 3 minutes or less to go. And I actually looked this stat up on Pro Football Reference. In that situation, down seven with less than three, he has attempted 268 passes since 2004 when he was drafted. Now, next in line for active or even retired quarterbacks within that time frame is Joe Flacco with 209, and there's a bigger dip after that as well. So his stat line in that situation, down seven or less, 3 minutes or less to go, 53% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 12 interceptions for a 63.9 rating. I mean, the supporting cast has not been fantastic for Rivers, especially lately, but I mean, that wide receiver core, you gotta feel like you have something there, right, Ben?
Right. It's very interesting because in the recording, John alluded to the fact that, and you know, this would be a little bit of a trigger for Eagles fans here, but John alluded to the fact that he attributes a lot of the reasons why Rivers is in those situations to the fact that the Chargers coaching staff tends to abandon the run too early. And he spoke about the fact that, you know, they brought in Melvin Gordon as a first-round draft selection as a guy who's supposed to be a bell cow workhorse, you know, kind of game-changing running back. And even though they claim Gordon to be that, and that's what they call him, and that's how they treat him, you know, during pressers and so on and so forth, that's not how they treat him during games, and they don't do well feeding him the football and so on and so forth. So it's actually kind of funny to hear that, you know, some of those issues are reflected across the league. It was really funny because, you know, Cowboys game on Monday night, which, you know, we didn't really talk about in the last pod, but that was an interesting watch for sure. And Marcus Mosier, who's the host of Locked On Cowboys, I'm following him on Twitter, and he just, you know, posts in all caps a tweet that says, "Stop running the ball on first down." And I was like, man, wish we had that problem. Nope. Neither way. The Chargers seem to be suffering the same affliction as we do.
Yeah, and Gordon only ran 17 times that game. I know he had a knock on his knee, which we're going to be tracking throughout the week. 17 times, 79 yards for a 4.6 average and a touchdown. Had a decent game. The problem is when Gordon goes out for whatever reason or needs to be spelled, there is absolutely zero running back depth there, which is, you know, something that, right. When you look at the Eagles running backs or backups compared to the Chargers, like the Eagles have the superior group, which is crazy to say.
Don't you dare say that about who's that third stringer? I'm gonna have the producers pull it up for me right now. They've got that third stringer Echol or something like that, who came from like a Division II school. Really cool story. Right. He's amazing. All right, but everybody else is bad. You're right.
Yeah. And look, the road woes of the Eagles have been well documented. However, we are 1-1 this season on the road. We were 1-7 last year, as we've said on here before. But look, the StubHub Center, it holds 27,000 people. There were large chunks of Chiefs fans in the stands for that game where they lost 24-10 against the Chiefs. Weren't really ever competitive, despite the score being close for a decent amount of the game. The gaps between one Chargers to the next Charger fan in the stands was incredible. How much of a home field advantage do you forfeit by playing in an Arena League stadium?
You know, a huge drop off there. And you can imagine that just losing all of those numbers, losing that crowd noise is a big thing. But even beyond that, something really interesting that John talked to us about was simply saying that in the market in which the StubHub Center is in Carson, California, which is kind of like, you know, this area that's a little bit further away and isn't, you know, it's more in the Los Angeles area. It's not where San Diego Charger fans are kind of located. It's the Chargers aren't even the favorite football team there. They're not even one of the favorite sports teams. And so not only do you have a low number of people you can sit into your stadium, but on top of that, you don't even have fans there who want to go sit in a limited number of seats to begin with. And that's, right. You know, what a shame. And like, I don't know, I can't have too much of a perspective on it. This is the first, you know, relocation or expansion in my living memory of football. And so, you know, I can't really recall, you know, Houston Texans or anything like that. But it's such a shame to see a franchise that's kind of foregone, as the Chargers have been foregone by the relocation of Los Angeles and the California fan base as a whole.
Yeah, and when you lose your home field advantage like that, and look, the biggest advantage will be the fact that the Eagles have to travel cross country to get there. This feels like a slam dunk for the Eagles unless they get absolutely shredded by Phillip Rivers, who had a 37.2 quarterback rating against the Chiefs. How do you feel about the front seven forcing the Chargers to abandon the run early, and then how we match up against their wide receivers?
Right, so you've got to start by looking at Melvin Gordon's health coming into the game, because I think he's their most dangerous offensive weapon at this point. You know, that knee is banged up, and as John pointed out on the recording, that's the same knee on which he had microfracture surgery, which is a surgery that, you know, microfractures don't go away. They nag. You know, they hang around for a long time, and they can cause problems over years. And so, you know, a lot of the reports currently coming out of Los Angeles say he's got knee soreness, but he's going to be fine to play. We fully expect him to be there on the field against Philadelphia, but it's something to monitor, because that knee has been a situation for Gordon moving forward. So that's the first question there. In the event that Gordon can't play, I think it's going to be very difficult. Same as you saw with the Giants, despite a powerful passing attack with some good offensive weapons, I think it'll be very difficult for the Chargers to move the football on the Eagles. Now, in the event that you kind of have a more balanced offensive attack and they can run the football, which kind of takes the edge off the pass rush a little bit, you might see a similar manner of attacking those Eagles corners, as far as, you know, they'll probably be playing a little bit off the football as they have to. Jalen Mills and Rasul Douglas, with their lack of experience and their lack of physical tools. I'm particularly nervous about Travis Benjamin, who's an incredibly quick, fast wide receiver for the Chargers. And if the biggest weakness in the Eagles corners right now is absolutely long speed. And, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. can fly, absolutely, but I think Travis Benjamin is probably just as good, if not a little bit better, of a pure long speed sort of receiver. And so you'll really have to ensure that he can't take the top off of you and bust a big play open. You know, running the numbers against the Giants game, it was very surprising to see that the Eagles' longest play they gave up was that 77-yard catch and run to Sterling Shepard, you know, missed tackle by Chris Maragos, and he's gone. But the next longest play was only 20 yards, and it was a run play. They did well, you know, keeping down those big plays.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.
And the thing that I worry about, because I watched Dontrell Inman for Scouting Academy in the summer, and man, let me tell you, Tyrell Williams after the catch, if he gets a slant or a dig and he beats, you know, Rasul coming up or Jalen coming up and he's in the open field, he can really hurt you even more so than a guy like Sterling Shepard can. So I think that's something that we have to watch out for. So look, we're going to be previewing this game throughout the week. And we're going to move on real quick. Before we go, I want to touch on a subject that is near and dear to my heart. Did Ezekiel Elliott eat his burst and his second gear away in preparation for this six-game suspension that hasn't come yet? Or am I seeing things? Because it just doesn't look like he has the explosiveness that he's had in the past.
See, I did not get eyes on the Monday night game in a significant way. I was breaking out Penn State versus Iowa because I missed that game. I was traveling over the weekend. Say so God. I didn't get a look at it, but I've kind of seen the jokes about it and everything. I mean, at this point, we've only got the one perspective, and it's yours. So you tell me, did you really, like, how much of a joke is this, is my question.
Look, even prior to this game where he just looked slow, Marcus Mosier from Locked On Cowboys, who you referred to before, had put up pictures of him from 2016 and 2017, right? And you know how he wears like that midriff and like that's his thing or whatever?
Yeah, his crop top. It's cute.
Yeah, he went from like having like a six pack or whatever to just being like chubby. Like Ohio State takes me as a like beer drinking type of college. And I think he's had a decent amount because, I mean, look, I don't want to circulate unsubstantiated gossip, but word is Ezekiel Elliott likes to party. And if he's thinking that he's not going to play for 6 weeks, starts down to beers like crazy, and is eating at 3 o'clock in the morning because he goes into a smoke shop and spends $700 on his credit card, allegedly, with all of his friends there, is all for them, of course. There are some serious red flags there that I think that we should be paying more attention to. But I mean, look, you never want to hope for somebody's downfall, but there's signs there, brother. I'm telling you.
Let me ask you this off the cuff. Did you scout Elliott coming out of college?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so better prospect as far as what you've seen so far, Barkley or Elliott?
Barkley. It's not even close.
I mean, I threw the G word around with Barkley in my last post. I threw the generational around. Yeah. I was taking no prisoners, man. I mean, Elliott was an outstanding talent and was one of the best running backs that we've seen and kind of helped lead back that whole draft of running back early in the first round conversation. But I've not seen anything like Saquon Barkley in all my days.
Yeah, dude, that performance against Iowa. And look, I was a big Zeke guy, too. And it's not to besmirch him. I don't disagree with the Cowboys pick there. You can't, you know, really control what grown men are going to do in their off time, but I would have been fine if the Eagles had stuck at 8, which is where they were originally in that draft, and they had taken Ezekiel Elliott. I would have been absolutely thrilled. I thought he was an excellent football talent, and he would have brought a lot to this team as far as the running game goes, and we'd be trying to fix other things in the meantime, but we would have that on lock until, you know, he gets a 6-game suspension and then decides he's going to eat the whole buffet. But look, we can't control those things, nor can we predict those things. We'll leave it there, and I want you to take a look at that game, and I want you to keep an eye on it next week, and we'll kind of revisit it to see if maybe he's whipped himself back into shape now that he knows he's playing a little bit more, and we'll see where it goes. So remember, guys, iTunes, give us 5 stars. Gosh darn it. Rate, review, leave your Twitter handle in the review, and you enter to win a chance to win a PFF Edge subscription worth up to $40. I just used the PFF Edge subscription of my own to enter a DFS lineup into FanDuel this weekend, won some money off that. So they do a lot of different stuff. It's not just, you know, snap counts and everything like that. They do some fantasy stuff that's really useful as well. If you are lazy like me, go ahead and do that. Remember, leave your Twitter handle in there. Please give us 5 stars. Give me the love that my father never gave me. Ben,
wow.
Do you have anything else for the people today?
That just hurt me. I don't know how to. I got nothing, man.
All right. So we are going to leave you after the end here. We are going to leave you with my blooper reel from yesterday.
Oh, God.
I was trying to close the show. I had 12 words to say. Took me conservatively 3 minutes and 20 seconds to finish it. So that's 21 words a second because we got giggle analytics here on Locked On Eagles. Please enjoy Ben's pain and enjoy
my
giggles. And to do that, you're going to have to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. But to continue for a chance to win a PFF Edge subscription and hear our sweet, sweet takes about the Giants. Wow.
Mike, having a rough pod, man. Spencer Ware tore his PC on. Everything's gone downhill.
To hear our thoughts about the upcoming Eagles, Chargers preview. Wow, what the? To hear. All right, you got to keep it locked on here for the rest of the week to hear our sweet, sweet preview of the Eagles and Chargers going at it this Sunday. Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly.
You started with, you've got to keep it locked on here. So you had nowhere else to go when you got to the end, man.
Just steadily realized that. Okay, all right.
Well, okay, you got to save this, and then one day we're going to just add together all the clips we have of you, like, totally screwing up the ending, and that'll just be one pod.
Okay. Oh.
All right, I'm turning video off to help you out. You got it, buddy. I'm just sitting here in silence, like, judging the heck out of you. Dude, you're like a tomato right now.
You gotta keep it.
The balls came back up. Undropped.
You gotta keep it locked on here. On Locked On Eagles.
Unbelievable.
Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I barely held it together for that, man.
Boom.
Boom. One take.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.